Good morning, and welcome once again to Mornings for the Master, heard right here each weekday on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your Thursday host. I want to thank you for joining me. And we are studying every Thursday the book of 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, the latter half of the book, chapter 16 through 31, central figure here to be found is David. And in chapters 21 through 30, we're considering David's years as a fugitive. And today we're going to begin in chapter 26. And in chapter 26, we find David's second opportunity to kill Saul. Now, chapter 26 begins as Saul pursues David into the wilderness of Ziph, and David and Abishai enter into Saul's camp, close enough to the sleeping Saul to kill him, but he would not. Let's begin with chapter 26. Now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding in the hill of Hakaleah, opposite Jeshimon?" Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hakaleah, which is opposite Jeshimon by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness. And he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp, with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, the brother of Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please, let me strike him at once with the spear, right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said furthermore, "As the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please, take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go." So David rejected the suggestion of Abishai. Go back to verse 7. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. and Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now, therefore, please, let me strike him at once with the spear, right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. But David said to Abishai, Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? I want us to notice the respect that David had for Saul's position and office as king, even though Saul, the man himself, was in error. Again now, verse 9, But David said to Abishai, Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, As the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please, take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go. One lesson for us here is that we must never use the wrong means in order to work God's plans. We continue in verse 12. So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away. And no man saw or knew it or awoke, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Now David went over to the other side, and stood on the top of the hill afar off, a great distance being between them. And David called out to the people, and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, Do you not answer Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who are you calling out to the king? So David said to Abner, Are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord the king. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. And now, see where the king's spear is, and the jug of water that was by his head. So we find that David took Saul's spear and jug of water, and from a distant hill he chides Abner for not protecting his king. So to Saul, David pleads his innocent case. Now once again, Saul admits his error, but he soon shows that he was not sincere in his repentance. Verse 17. Then Saul knew David's voice and said, Is that your voice, my son David? David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, Why does my lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go, serve other gods. So now, do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today. But I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, may you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. So Saul again confesses sin, promising to do David no more harm. But as has often been noted, repeated confessions, repeatedly shown to be insincere, will fall flat. And now let us move to chapter 27. And in chapter 27, we see David flee to the Philistines for protection. Verse 1. And David said in his heart, now I shall perish some day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. Consider the fact that David had been assured he would be king, but yet David believed that he was going to perish. So David now hopes to weary Saul with his pursuit, and David flees to Gath. And King Achish gives David the city of Ziklag to dwell in. Verse 2. Then David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's widow. And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Then David said to Achish, if I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore, Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months. We find that David makes a raid on the Philistines and told Achish he was making raids on Israel. Let's continue in verse 8. And David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites and the Gerzites and the Amalekites, for those nations were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as you go to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive, but took away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Then Achish would say, "Where have you made a raid today?" And David would say, "Against the southern area of Judah, or against the southern area of the Jeremelites, or against the southern area of the Kenites." David would save neither man nor woman alive, to bring news to Gath, saying, "Lest they should inform on us, saying, 'Thus David did.'" And thus was his behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. So Achish believed David, saying, "He made his people Israel utterly abhor him, therefore he will be my servant forever." So David engages in warfare, pleasing to the king of Gath. And the king feels that Israel so despises David that he will serve the Philistine king forever. And now we move to chapter 28. And in chapter 28, we find Saul's consultation with a witch. Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war, to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, "You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men." So David said to Achish, "Surely you know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore, I will make you one of my chief guardians forever." Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. David, of course, was numbered among Israel's enemies. And now the Philistines are set to battle Israel. But for whom will David fight? Saul certainly exemplifies the way of the apostate. He will turn to embrace the things he once fought against and abhorred. We see that Saul is fearful at the sight of the Philistine army, and God would not answer him. He asked that his servants find a woman with a familiar spirit. Let's pick up in verse 5. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. So disguising himself, Saul goes to the woman. She herself is fearful to practice her work, since Saul had driven all such individuals from the land. Notice verse 9. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Now we must remember that the Israelites in the law of Moses had been forbidden to go to spiritists or to mediums. Go with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and notice there verses 9 through 12. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. So we find now that the woman who had made a living of tricking people is shocked herself when Samuel appears, and she knows her client is Saul himself. Let's continue in verse 11. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. So she describes her vision to Saul, who recognizes Samuel and bows. Samuel's message was about to bring fear to Saul. Now we need to understand that the woman in the encounter here possessed no power. But God took the occasion to bring up Samuel. And as we see, it shocked her as much as anybody. We continue in verse 13. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me any more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do." So Saul related to Samuel the difficulties that he was facing. And now, beginning in verse 16, let's notice the response of Samuel to Saul. "Then Samuel said, 'So why do you ask me, seeing that the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Now therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines.'" So Samuel informs him that he is now God's enemy, that Saul has lost the kingdom, and that tomorrow he will lose his life. Samuel said, "And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me." Now the reference here would be to the Hadean realm in death. Saul and his sons would be with Samuel in the aspect that, yes, they would be dead, but they would also be separated by the great gulf that would be fixed between them. Let's continue with verse 20. "Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled, and said to him, 'Look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice, and I have put my life in my hands, and heeded the words which you spoke to me. Now, therefore, please, heed also the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you, and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way.'" Verse 23 says, "But he refused and said, 'I will not eat.' So his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he heeded their voice. Then he arose from the ground and sat on the bed." So she offered food to Saul, but Saul would not eat in his great distress. However, Saul would finally consent as chapter 28 ends. Notice verse 24. "Now the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she hastened to kill it. And she took flour and kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread from it. So she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night." So now we move into chapter 29 as we continue to look at David's years as a fugitive. And in chapter 29, the Philistine princes did not trust David. We find he was excused by King Achish from fighting with the Philistines against Israel. We pick up in verse 1. "Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Then the princes of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the prince of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me." But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him. And do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s'?" So the Philistines prepare for war, and their princes are displeased that David is in their midst. They were afraid that in the war he would turn and become their adversary. Verse 6. Then Achish called David and said to him, "Surely, as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and your going out and your coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Therefore return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." But David said to Achish, "But what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" Then Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle.' Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning, to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Because of their displeasure, Achish urges that David return from the field of battle. And again, go back to verse 6. Then Achish called David and said to him, "Surely, as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and your going out and your coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you." David had certainly impressed the heathen king with his uprightness. And now as we move to chapter 30, we consider the matter of the city of Ziklag. Now it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. So the Amalekites had made a raid against Ziklag, and they had burned and captured the women and children. When David arrives, he also discovers they had taken his wives among the women and the children taken captive. Again, now we go to verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We find that the people spoke of stoning David. But in all this, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Here is a great lesson for all of us in how to conduct ourselves and the mindset to have when we endure troublesome times. We continue in verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "Please bring the ephod here to me." And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall overtake them and without fail recover all." So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind, because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites, in the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said to him, "Can you take me down to this troop?" So he said, "Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop." So inquiring of God David is sent in pursuit. And they find an Egyptian servant. They gave him food and then employed him to show them the Amalekite camp. Now notice back to verse 8 and see that God promises the outcome. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Indeed, they would recover everything. As God promised David, that is exactly what happened. Let's continue in verse 16. "And when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds, because they had driven before those other livestock, and said, 'This is David's spoil.' So David went after them, and he recovered both the people and the possessions." Verse 21. "Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, 'Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart.' But David said, 'My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this manner? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike.' So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day." Some of the men turned to wickedness and did not want to share the spoil with the 200 who were too weak to fight with them. They were left behind, but David insisted that they share in everything. Consider the sense of equity in David, that all shall share. Verse 26. "Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, 'Here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord,' to those who were in Bethel, those who were in Ramoth of the south, those who were in Jeter, those who were in Aror, and those who were in Siphamoth, and those who were in Eshtemoa, those who were in Rachel, those who were in the cities of the Jerahmeelites, those who were in the cities of the Kenites, those who were in the city who were in Hormah, those who were in Corishan, those who were in Athak, those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to rove. So David sends of the spoils to the elders in Judah, saying, "This came from the enemies of the Lord." And now, as we draw near to the end of 1 Samuel, we come to the final chapter, chapter 31, which records the death of Saul. We find the Philistines and Israel continuing in warfare. Verse 1 says, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. In their pursuit of Saul, they kill his sons." Verse 2. "Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons. And the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons." Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua were all killed. Verse 3 says, "The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers." And then we find that Saul's armor bearer would not kill him at his request. Verse 4. "Then Saul said to his armor bearer, 'Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me.' But his armor bearer would not do it, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it." King Saul would fall by his own sword. A once godly man now ends his life in suicide. Verse 5. "And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together that same day. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those who were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So Israel flees in panic, and the Philistines occupy their cities." Verse 8. "So it happened the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim it in the temple of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of the Ashtaroths, and they fastened his body to the wall of Beth-shan. And so Saul and his sons died in the battle. Saul is beheaded the next day, and his body was nailed to a wall. The armor that he wore became a trophy in the house of the Philistine idol." Verse 11. "Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, All the valiant men arose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. And they came to Jabesh and burned them there. Then they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So valiant men came at night and took the bodies of Saul and his sons and burned them and buried their bones. The men of Jabesh-Gilead wanted the bodies disposed of in a decent manner. Remember for a moment back to chapter 11, where Saul had come to the aid of these men when the Amorites came upon them. Chapter 11. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve you." And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, "On this condition I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on Israel." Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, "Hold off for 7 days, that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then, if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you." So the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the news in the hearing of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now there was Saul coming behind the herd from the field. And Saul said, "What troubles the people that they weep?" And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of the messengers, saying, "Whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messengers who came, "Thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help." Then the messengers came and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Then the men of Jabesh said, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you." So it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and killed Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who is he who said, 'Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death.'" But Saul said, "Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they made sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. So after disposing of the bodies of Saul and his sons, they would fast. Now if you go back to verse 11. Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there. Then they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. And so concludes our study of 1 Samuel. Saul had descended from greatness to witchcraft and finally to suicide. The book of 1 Samuel has given us a very clear perspective on three very different individuals whose lives were tightly interwoven. Consider Samuel, a prophet, a priest, a judge, and an anointer. Saul, a man after man's heart, and David, a man after God's heart. In this book, God has showed us the importance of the reign of a righteous king. Indeed, David was a type of Christ. Indeed, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15 says, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And indeed, we find in 1 Samuel the importance of faithful submission without any hesitation. I hope that our study of 1 Samuel has been of benefit to you. I have certainly benefited from it myself, and have found a great joy in studying this magnificent portion of the Old Testament. And I hope that you have also. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. I hope that if the Lord wills, we'll be together next week. And next week, we'll begin a new study. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'll let it be a surprise, so you'll have to tune in. So join me then. And until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.